We are in the First Chronicles, chapter 17. Okay. We are going to start from verse 1.
Now it came to pass as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, Lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains.
Okay, now here we see David maybe invited Nathan to his house, and he was sitting and he was thinking about God. You remember first time he was bringing the Ark of the Covenant? Uzzah died. He was very disappointed. Then he tried again and he did it right way. And last week we learned they bought the Ark of the Covenant and he made the tent for it and put it there. And now he's sitting in the beautiful house made out of cedar wood, and he's feeling guilty. He's thinking, Ark of the Covenant is staying in the tent and the curtains, and I'm living in a beautiful house. So he's talking to Nathan. See what the Nathan says, verse 2.
Then Nathan said unto David, Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee.
Now the Nathan supposed to say to David, David, you have a good idea to make a temple for God. Let's pray and ask the will of God what God wants us to do. But the Nathan thought king is a king. And king is a godly man. And he has a lot of silver and a lot of gold and a lot of brass, we will be learning. A lot of loot he has and lots of money. So Nathan started thinking, there is no obstacle building the house for God. So he said, go ahead. God is with you. Build the temple. Because he's looking at the face and say, okay, David is a good man. God will not say no to David. But he knew the history that David was not qualified to build the house of God. You remember when Samuel went to anoint the king David? God did not tell him who David was. And first comes the David, the first brother, very handsome and tall. And he thought thinking, hey, Saul was very tall man and God chosen him. So this might be the man. And then he was going to anoint him. He said, no, he's not the one. And all the brothers came and not single one was not qualified. And David was not there. So Samuel might be thinking, am I making a mistake or something? All the children are finished. He said, no, there is another one is in the field taking care of the sheep. He said, go bring that person. As soon as he saw him, God said, this is the one. So now David is asking Nathan, I want to build the house for God. Nathan said, go ahead. Because he thought David is a God's man and there is nothing wrong building the house for God. And he went home. Told him to build the house. Let's see what happens, verse 3.
And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, Go and tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in.
Now here comes God in his dream and his vision. He is sleeping and he got a vision. And God is talking to him, Nathan. He didn't say you made a mistake or anything. He says, Nathan, go and tell David, you're not going to build the house. Nathan might be feeling so embarrassing. I told the man, build the house, and now I'm going to go and say, no, don't build the house. It is embarrassing, but you have to listen to God. You remember Isaiah? Tell the Hezekiah, he said, hey, you're going to die. And Hezekiah was so sorry and he started crying and weeping. And God heard his prayer and God says to Isaiah, go back and tell him that you're not going to die. This is embarrassing to man of God to go and humble himself and get the message of God to the man of God or the children of God. So he goes back and tells him God has given you 15 more years. The same situation God told Nathan, he's not going to build the house. You go and tell him. And God tells him so many things. and see what God says to Nathan, and then Nathan has to come and tell the David. Verse 5.
For I have not dwelt in an house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent, and from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, Why have ye not built me an house of cedars?
Now here the word of God is saying to Nathan, tell David, when people of children of God came from Egypt, and they made the tent and tabernacle, and they took tabernacle one place to another place to another place, but I was walking with them. What he's trying to say, I was not in tabernacle. I was walking. I was not cooped in that box. God is a free God. He made the whole universe. No one can make the home for God. He says, heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. What kind of temple you can make for God? God doesn't live in handmade temple. And so God is trying to tell them, I was not living in the tent. I was walking with them. I was guiding them. But they did not understand. They thought I'm in a box. Okay, verse 7.
Now therefore thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth.
Now he is saying, David, let me remind you, now you are planning to build a house, think that you are a rich man, and you can build a beautiful house for God. You were a shepherd. You were going after sheep. You have no wealth. You had no power. But I called you to lead my people. That's the important thing you had to learn. So he was telling him, not only I bought you out of that, I protected you. You remember, Saul was very angry because the girls were singing. Saul killed thousands and David killed 10,000. So the Saul was angry and he wanted to kill the David. And you know the story, we already studied. David was running from one place to another place to another place, but the Saul was not able to kill him. Even though he had the army with him, but he could not kill him. Finally, David ran to the Philistines, so Saul could not go there. So he is saying, I was with you all the time, and I gave you the great name. That means greater than this King Saul and greater than all the kings, because David defeated many, many, many kings. So he got a great name. Verse 9.
Also I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more, as at the beginning.
Now he is saying, a little bit mixed message we will be learning later on. He is saying, I'm going to make a place for my people, people of Israel. They were wandering, if you remember. And now, according to this, they are settled in the Israeli place or Jerusalem. And he says, nobody will be able to destroy them anymore. Muslim people are great nations all around. Israeli nation is very tiny little nation. Get the globe of the world globe and look for Israeli place. It'll be a little dot. But God is concerned about Israeli people, and no one is able to destroy them so far. Okay, and nobody will destroy them as they settle there. Verse 10.
And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee an house.
Now, here is saying, what kind of house you going to build for me? I am going to build a house for you. David might be sitting in his house and he says, I already built the house for me. What kind of house God is going to build for me? You remember Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples in St. John chapter 14. He was going to go to heaven to his Father. So he said, your heart should not be troubled. He says, in my father's house, there are so many mansions already. What those mansions are doing? God says to David, I'm going to build a house for you. And Israeli people, he said, I'm going to make a place for you. And so nobody will move you from there. And so now God already prepared the place for Israeli people. Not one, but many mansions. But the Jesus Christ is saying, I'm not going to take you there where my father's mansions are. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I finish this place, I will come down and take you wherever I am. Now that place is what? New Jerusalem. God, Jesus Christ, is building that house or that building or that city for us. And so the Lord says, don't worry, I'm going to build the house. And God has already built it, but our house is still not built. New Jerusalem is called the Bride of Christ. The bride is going to live in there. Verse 11.
And it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom.
Now here is saying, here are two things you have to learn. Here is saying, when you die, they will bury you here, but you are going to go and meet your fathers. That means your body will be here, but all the saints are in heaven. You are going to go and join with them. That's a great hope for Christian people. Some Jewish people still don't know after death what happens. But here it very clearly says, you are going to go and meet your forefathers in heaven. And then he says about his seeds, I will raise up thy seed. First he says thy seed, and then say thy sons. If you say thy sons, then thy seeds. But he says thy seed, one seed. And he was talking about Jesus Christ, because he says, I will establish his kingdom, not the Solomon's kingdom, not any other son's kingdom, but the kingdom of his son. And Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, we read, he said, genealogy of Jesus Christ, who is what? Who is the son of David and son of Abraham. So Jesus Christ came as the seed of David, as a son of David. And if you read in Acts chapter 13, please read verse 22 and 23. Paul is trying to say, God already promised that Jesus Christ is coming through the David, yes, as the seed of David. Please.
And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God promised, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus.
So he says, that seed of David is the Savior of Israel and Savior of the whole world. Nathan was telling David what God says, your seed will establish the kingdom, and that kingdom will be forever. Go back to the First Chronicles chapter 17, verse 12.
He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever.
Now, again he's saying, he shall build me a house. David might be thinking, he's talking about Solomon. Solomon not only built the house for God, but he built the houses for so many other gods. So God was not so much proud that Solomon is going to build the house. He knew that he is going to build the houses for all other gods also. So he's talking about Jesus. Now, how the Jesus Christ is going to build the house for God? You remember, Jesus Christ came here into this world, so we should know who God is. And he prepared this house, our body, as the temple of the living God. And the word of God says, God does not live in the handmade temple, but he lives in the temple of our body. That's our temple, or our house. That's the God's house. You remember Jesus says, I'll come That is in John chapter 14, verse 23. He says, you love the Lord, you love me, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to go bring my Father, and myself and my Father will dwell in you, make our house in you. That is the real house. And Jesus Christ is building that. Go to the 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 8.
To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed.
Now, here the word of God is saying, Jesus Christ was the cornerstone, but the Israeli people rejected him. And so, Jesus Christ became a cornerstone. St. Paul says, I am building the house for God, and Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ built his house, and he gave the authority to apostles and prophets to build the house for him. Let's read the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 to 22.
And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
God is building the house. The foundation is Jesus Christ. The chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ, and apostles and prophets and preachers of God building the house.
In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
See, for habitation of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit lives in this temple. And so he says, he shall build me a temple. Who is he? Not Solomon, Jesus Christ. And that's why he came and he told his apostles how to build the church, how to put the cornerstone in Jesus Christ. And we are the temple of the living God. And then he says, I will establish his throne forever. Who's his throne? Not is Solomon's throne. Solomon's throne was not forever. He says, his throne forever. That's verse, go back to the 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 12.
He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever.
See, he said, he shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. That's Jesus Christ. And so, Jesus Christ's throne is forever. Verse 13.
I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it from him that was before thee.
Now see, again here is saying, I will be his father, he shall be my son, and I will not take mercy away from him. King Solomon started doing idol worship, and God rebuked him. God left him. He has to repent, but it never happened to Jesus Christ. I'll be his father, and he shall be my son. You remember Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. When Jesus Christ took the baptism and he came out of the water, what happened? The dove came like a spirit, and then they heard the voice. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. So everybody heard it. The spirit takes him for the trials and temptation, and here the devil comes. Are you the Son of God? Whole world heard it, right? Jesus heard it. But he says, are you the Son of God? Then take this stone and make a bread. And you know the story. Jesus Christ says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word comes out of the mouth of God, we can live. So we can study the word of God, hear the word of God, and that gives us life. I will be his father. And then another time we heard his voice, Matthew chapter 17. It's very easy to remember those numbers. When I say Matthew 3:17 when we finish, then go to Matthew 17, verse 5. At that time, Peter, James, and John with him on the mountain. And they saw the vision. It's not real, it's a vision. People are thinking really Elijah came and really Moses came. Moses didn't come, Elijah didn't come. They just saw the vision. They saw the vision. And the Peter, John, and James, they didn't know yet who Jesus is. You know what they thought? He is the prophet. Because Moses said, God is going to send the prophet just like you. The people start asking John the Baptist, are you that prophet? He said, no, I'm not that prophet. He was a prophet. But he said, I'm not that prophet, what Moses was saying, what God was saying about that prophet. But the Jesus Christ was the prophet. Jesus Christ has three missions. He came first time as a prophet. Now he's in heaven as a priest, high priest. And then he's coming back as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So at that time, when they saw this vision, they start saying, Peter starts saying, Lord, I can make a one tabernacle, means one house for you, one house for Moses, and one house for Elijah. Before Jesus can say anything, the voice came from heaven. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Not Moses, not Elijah. I gave him the message. You listen to him. You remember when God says, who will go? In Isaiah chapter 6, who will go? Isaiah said, I'll go. Actually, Jesus Christ was going to come. The word of God says, what are you going to do? They are not going to listen to you. Their eyes are dim, their ears are dull. They are not going to listen. So Jesus Christ was the Son of God, was coming to this world. And then 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, Peter reminds, we heard the voice of God on that mountain. And what he's saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So what God says to Nathan is fulfilled. Okay, let's go back to the First Chronicles chapter 17, verse 14.
But I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore.
Again he says, I will settle him in mine own house. Mine house means Jesus Christ went to heaven. If you read in Revelation chapter 1, he said Jesus Christ went to heaven. Now he is sitting at the right hand of his Father. He's already there. And whatever God says is already happened. And he says, I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom forever. So Jesus Christ went to the God's kingdom right now. God is there. The God's throne is there. God's ruling right now. Jesus Christ did not start his kingdom yet, because when Jesus Christ comes here and he takes the bride, then the 7 years tribulation, then Jesus Christ comes to end up the tribulation, and then he starts the 1,000 years kingdom on this earth. After that, the judgment, white throat judgment. After the judgment, all this earth and the heaven and the sea will pass away. And then we will go to the heavenly kingdom. And then Jesus Christ will be sitting at the New Jerusalem. And he will be King of Kings. That is his kingdom. I'll give you a couple of verses from book of Hebrews. Let's read the book of Hebrews chapter 8 verse 5.
Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount.
Now, Moses was making tabernacle. This was just the shadow. This was just the pattern. The real tabernacle, his real temple, is in heaven where the Father lives. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23 and 24.
It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us.
Now here is saying, Jesus Christ took his own blood and went to the heavenly tabernacle, heavenly temple. All other priests And every year and every time one priest dies, another priest comes. But Jesus Christ is the high priest for eternity. And so that's why he's in heaven. Book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 and 23.
But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect.
We are going to go to eternal heaven. That's our place, and God is going to take us to heaven, and we will be with Jesus Christ forever. Verse 27 and 28, same chapter.
And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain.
He says this world, you say the earthquake in California, one after another, the whole California is shaken. But here he's saying there is a kingdom in heaven, and there is no earthquake. Nobody will shake that kingdom, and that's the kingdom, that's the place we are going. Verse 28.
Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear.
That kingdom, the kingdom of God, a kingdom of heaven, or the Jesus Christ will be the King of Kings, that kingdom will never be moved. And that's the kingdom we are going to go. But some people are getting mixed up. Let's read the Luke chapter 1, verse 32 and 33. And this verse, many people making a different theory. After reading, I'll tell you.
He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Now see, when you read this, Jesus Christ comes and become a King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he say he will establish his kingdom, and his kingdom there will be no end. So some of the people thinking when Jesus Christ comes to establish his kingdom, we will be here forever. They don't want to go to heaven. They said this will be heaven. We will be on earth here for eternity. And they will be giving the example that the heaven is coming on earth, but he's not coming on this filthy earth. This earth will be gone, this heaven will be gone, this sea and everything will be gone. What God was trying to tell John, he saw the Jerusalem coming out of God. And where was John? He was not on earth. The Spirit took him in the high mountain in heaven. He was not standing in Jerusalem mountain. He was in high mountain in heaven. And then he saw the New Jerusalem coming out of God or out of Father. So that is not coming on this earth. John chapter 14, he says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And then I'll come back and take you. Did he say, I'm going to go and prepare a place and bring that place here down for you? No, he says, I'll take you with me. So then people are thinking, we are living on this earth for eternity. We are not going to live in this earth. We are going to go in heavenly places. That's why he says his kingdom will forever. I'll go back to the first Chronicle chapter 17, verse 15.
According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. And David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto?
Now here is saying David sat before God. Where did he go? He didn't go to heaven. He didn't go to tabernacle. He was in his house. So God is everywhere. Amen. You put a chair in front of you and you sit on one chair and say, think that God is sitting in front of you and talk to God. There was a man called Sadhu Sundar Singh. He would keep the chair for Jesus and he will sit and talk to Jesus and he will ask the question and Jesus will give him the answer and he will write it down and he wrote a book. Talking to God, God is not far away. He is just here in front of you. God is spirit. Jesus Christ says, in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is spirit, and whoever wants to worship him, they should worship him in the spirit and truth. If you are born again child of God, God the Father comes to live in you. The Spirit of Christ comes to live in you. And then you have the God the Father and God the Son in you. Yeah. So you can put the chair there and say, Lord, I'm sitting in front of you. Talk to me. He will talk to you. So he sat in front of God and talked with God. Verse 17.
And yet this was a small thing in thine eyes, O God, for thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and hast regarded me according to the estate of a man of high degree, O Lord God.
Now what he said, you talked about the house of God, or the your servants making a house, but he says it will take a great while to come. He's not talking about Solomon. That was not too long. He could, after David dies, next thing is Solomon building the temple. But he said it will take great while. That means he said, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he's the one going to make the house. That's what he was trying to say. Verse 18.
What can David speak more to thee for the honor of thy servants? For thou knowest thy servants. O Lord, for thy servants' sake and according to thine own heart hast thou done all this greatness in making known all these great things. O Lord, there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem to be his own people, to make thee a name of greatness and terribleness, by driving out nations from before thy people, whom thou hast redeemed out of Egypt?
Now, he's talking about the Israeli people, and how God redeemed the children of Israel from Egypt. They came from Egypt, whole world was afraid. You remember that Rahab, she said, you know what? I have heard and I have seen what God has done. And I know you, this my land is going to be destroyed. But I'm going to believe your God. And God saved her. The point I'm making, whole world was, they were afraid of living God. And they were all heathen. They were worshiping idols and all kinds of idols. And still today, and many other countries, they are worshiping idols. But thank God, Jesus Christ came through Israel people, and all the apostles came from Israeli people, and they got the message for us. And now we believe Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we do not worship the idols. Verse 22.
For thy people Israel didst thou make thine own people forever, and thou, Lord, becamest their God. Therefore now, Lord, let the thing that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house be established forever, and do what thou hast said.
Now he said, Lord, you told me my house will be forever. Do it as you said. He was looking at a future. Okay.
Let it even be established that thy name may be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God of Israel, even a God to Israel. And let the house of David thy servant be established before thee. For thou, O my God, hast told thy servant that thou wilt build him a house. Therefore thy servant hath found in his heart to pray before thee. And now, Lord, thou art God, and hast promised this goodness unto thy servants. Now therefore let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may be before thee forever. For thou blessest, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever.
Now he is so humble, and he is saying, Lord, you are going to build the house forever. Do it. You are going to bless me. You are going to bless my children. God did not tell him how many years it will take, but from David's family, the seed of God, Jesus Christ came. And so he says, blessed, and whatever you said, Lord, let it be. He agreed, just like when you pray and say amen, that means whatever we prayed and whatever other person prayed, I agree. And that's what you say, amen. And there's the chapter finishes. Let's go to the First Chronicle chapter 18, starting from verse 1.
Now after this it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them and took Gath and her towns out of the hand of the Philistines.
Now after this, what after this? When Nathan came and told him, God is going to establish your house forever. Wherever you go, God will be with you. And nobody will kill you. Nobody will destroy you. Now he got a courage. Hey, nobody can kill me. No, let me go and defeat all the people now. And that's what he's trying to do. And the Philistine people were not ordinary people. But when God tells him, you're going to do it, I'll be with you wherever you go. I will protect you. So what he does, first of all, takes the Gath. Gath is the headquarter of Goliath. And Goliath he killed, but his all four brothers remaining, he has four more brothers. If all of them come, I'll kill all of them. And you will see one by one, David killed them later on. Okay, so here you got the so much grace of God. I'm not going to die. God is not going to destroy me. So let's go and take a Gath. So he took the Gath and following towns and everything that the Philistine owns. Verse 2.
And he smote Moab, and the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts.
Now Moabites, they are not ordinary people. He defeated all the Moabites and they became his servants and they started bringing gifts. Actually, they started bringing tribute or taxes or something. And so they were under him. Verse 3.
And David smote Hadarezer, king of Zobah, unto Hamath, as he went to establish his dominion by the river Euphrates.
King Hadarezer, he was a very great king. And he said he was going everywhere and having dominion up to the river Euphrates. So he spread his kingdom so big. And so David defeated him. Verse 4.
And David took from him 1,000 chariots and 7,000 horsemen and 20,000 footmen. David also huffed all the chariot horses, but reserved of them 100 chariots.
Here he says he took from him 1,000 chariots and 7,000 horsemen, 20,000 footmen. Is what he did, he took almost 900 horses. We were doing the chariots, and he cut their veins in the, what you call, in thigh, below the thighs. So that means they won't be anymore taking the chariots. And I thought, why did he do that? But at that time, David was thinking, I'm not thinking about chariots and horses. I trust in the living God. Then I said, if you trust in the living God, why did you keep 100? You know, if you want to destroy, destroy all. But the point I'm making, sometimes people do make mistake. All these chariots, I'm not going to trust on the chariots. I'm not going to trust on the horse. Let it be there. I'm taking out from other people. But you know how to destroy these horses and make them lame. But that's what the problem. Verse 5.
And when the Syrians of Damascus came to help Hadarezer, king of Zobah, David slew of the Syrians 2,000 and 20,000 men.
Hadarezer was a great king. So when David defeating them, so Syrian people said, hey, let's go and help that great king. So then he destroyed them and he killed them. And 20,000 people were dead. Verse 6.
Then David put garrisons in Syria Damascus, and the Syrians became David's servants and brought gifts. Thus the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went.
Now see, those people also defeated, and those people start giving gifts. Those people became his servants, and God protected him. Verse 7.
And David took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadarezer and brought them to Jerusalem. Likewise from Tibhath and from Chun, cities of Hadarezer, brought David very much brass, wherewith Solomon made the brazen sea and the pillars and the vessels of brass. Now when Tou, king of Hamath, heard how David had smitten all the host of Hadarezer, king of Zobah, he sent Hadarim, his son, to King David to inquire of his welfare and to congratulate him, because he had fought against Hadarezer and smitten him. For Hadarezer had war with Tou, and with him all manner of vessels of gold and silver and brass.
Here is another king. He is Tou king. Now Hadarezer destroy him. So now King David destroy the Hadarezer. So what happened? This Tou sends his children. Go and say, hi David, how are you? Actually he's coming and say, thanking him. That man defeated us, you defeated him, now we are yours. So he gets all the silver and gold and all kinds of vessels and everything, giving gift to David. So see, once you are rich and once you are famous, everybody wants to give you gift and make you happy. Verse 11.
Them also King David dedicated unto the Lord with the silver and the gold that he brought from all these nations, from Edom and from Moab and from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines and from Amalek.
Now see where he got all this gold, Edom, Moab, and Ammon, and Amalek. All these kings, they were rich, all rich people. got a gold and silver and the brass and the iron and so much he got. But thank God, one thing he did. He said, all the silver and all the gold and everything, I'm going to give it to the Lord. And he dedicated all the silver and all the gold to build the temple. And so he gave it to the Lord. Okay, let's read verse 12.
Moreover, Abishai the son of Zeruiah slew of the Edomites in the Valley of Salt 18,000. And he put garrisons in Edom, and all the Edomites became David's servants. Thus the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went.
Again he says, all these people David defeated, and they became his servants. Thus the Lord preserved David wherever he went. And so not a single king or single person was able to defeat David. What is the secret? He dedicated his life to God. He humbled himself. Lord, if you don't want me to make a temple for you, you are the going to make a temple. You are the going to make a house for us. And you're going to do everything. I'm going to just obey you. And I'm going to just do whatever you say. Everywhere David went, this is not everything he's telling here. But everywhere David went to fight, he asked God, shall I go? Shall I fight? And when God gave the permission, and he defeated all these people, and all the silver and all the gold and everything, he gave it to the Lord. Verse 14.
So David reigned over all Israel and executed judgment and justice among all his people.
Now here said David was reigning over all Israel. That means all 12 tribes. He was in charge of all 12 tribes. After Solomon died and his son became a king, the kingdom was divided. The Judah has only 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And all other 10 tribes were with the Israeli people. The word of God says David was the good king. So God allowed him all 12 tribes of Israel with him. And last week, if you remember, we learned that they were all in one mind, one accord, and everyone was together and listening to the David, and David was very happy. Verse 15.
And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the host, and Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, recorder.
Now here, he's ending the chapter, but here he's saying what David did. First of all, the David was king over all Israeli people. Then Joab was the captain of all Israeli people. He was the very great man, and he was the captain. So he said his captain was Joab, and Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was a recorder. Verse 16.
And Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Abimelech, the son of Abiathar, were the priests, and Shavsha was scribe.
Now here is saying, Abiathar and his sons, they were all priests, and Shavsha was the scribe. Scribe is the person who knows so much about Bible. Those people were scribes. And so he kept it, the recorder, the knowing the Bible person, and the host of the Israeli people, the leaders, and everything he settled. And then verse 17, he says, all of his sons were in the higher authority, like big, big people in his kingdom. And the chapter finishes there. Okay, please read that word.
And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and the sons of David were chief about the king.
Chief about the king means they were all big, big position, and the King David was the happiest man at that particular time. But after that, we learned he had a lot of problem also later on in his old age. But God was trying to teach him, I'm not talking about your son who is going to be king forever, and I'm not talking about the you are the one establishing kingdom forever. I want the Son of God, who is coming as a seed of David, and he will be establishing his kingdom, and I will build the house for him in heaven, and then he will build the house for us in kingdom. So the chapter was a little bit complicated, but thank God we learned very well. Shall we rise? Okay, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to come to the house of God. You are going to bless your people. You are going to supply their needs. You are going to keep them healthy. You are going to give them your wisdom, your grace, and your power to live for you and for your glory. And thank God you have given us the Holy Spirit. You have given us your power. And we are going to defeat the demonic forces. And no one has power to defeat us, because we are the children of High God. Lord Jesus, bless us and use us mightily for the glory of God. Whoever is sitting and standing in this hall, bless them, supply their needs, and let them know God has started a good work in their life, and God is going to complete it. In Jesus' name we pray, and we call it done. Amen and amen. Please be seated.